There we go. All right. Forget to turn yourself. Step back there waiting for my opportunity, then I didn't turn myself on. All right. All right. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I hope you're going to enjoy yourself. I had a great week last week. I mean, you know, it's pretty hard not to have a good week when you go to San Diego. I mean, you know, or you start your week off Sunday morning in church with the people you love and a church you love, and then you spend the night at Disneyland for 6 hours running around, enjoying rides and eating, and then you have a great San Diego trip and running around. Then I had a wedding yesterday, a wonderful job with a beautiful wedding, God-glorifying wedding. I really enjoyed hearing so much about God at the wedding and giving God the glory. And so it was a lot of fun doing this, but today's a new day. Today's a new week, and I'm excited. We're in this 40-day study. Well, 42-day study. What on earth am I here for? Why am I here? You ever wonder about life and what life is dealing with you and, you know, just the dynamics of life and maybe the blessings and all the good things and yet all the struggles? Anybody ever have a week where everything goes right and nothing ever goes wrong? Anybody ever get weeks like that? I don't see anybody raising your hand on that one. Yeah. How do we deal with life and how do we go through life with all these kind of things? And so we're kind of looking at what am I here for? You know, how does all this play out and how am I supposed to live my life? And so we're doing this study. What on earth am I here for? We're kind of into the third week now. And last week, if you remember, we kind of talked about one of the purposes God put us here for is because God loves us. Plain and simple. That's the first thing God wanted you to know, is that he loves you. That you were created because and for his love and to be recipient of his love. And when we return that love, we worship him. So we were created for God's pleasure. Well, this morning, I kind of want to take a little bit of a step here and look at how God created us to belong, that we're created to belong to one another, to belong to his church, to be part of his church. Here's the scripture I want you to look at this morning. You got a little outline in your worship folder, some blanks to fill, and I'll encourage you to get it out. It reads like this: God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share his glory. God created you to be part of his family. God wants a family. Now listen. God doesn't need a family. It's not like he has to have a family. God wants to have a family. And so he created this universe. He created all the beautiful here. He called it the Garden of Eden. And he created everything else and all the dynamics that are around us. And then he created you and I to be part of his family, to be able to walk with him and spend time with him and to enjoy a relationship with him. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. God doesn't want us to be homeless. God doesn't want us to be orphans. That's the song you just heard. God doesn't want us to be streetless kids. God wants us to be part of a family. And he created a family. And I'm going to tell you, he's got a name for that family. All right? A real simple name. It is called, you might write this down somewhere, church. All right? When you become a part of a church and you get involved in a church, you are part of that family. And so if you look at this, I put it this way, real simple. The second purpose of my life is that God formed me for his family. That God formed you for a family. I kind of set the stage a few weeks ago as we began looking at preparing for the study that there's no such thing as an accident. That you're not here accidentally. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You didn't wake up this morning and say, I'm going to go to church. And God says, hey, man, I'm surprised they're going to church today. You did not surprise God by being here, all right? Before you were born, God had you planned to be here. He knew where you would be this day when he created this world. That goes back a long ways. And see, God had this plan, and he wants you to be part of a family. He wants you to be part of a group. And I want us to dwell on this. Look what the scripture says. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. That's been his plan. From the day he created this world, his plan was for you and I and for us to become a family, to be part of a church, to be part of his family. See, it goes back to this. He first loved us, and then he calls us to become part of his family, to join him, to be part of who he is. And so God's family is called the church. I already shared that with you. It's a church. He's formed it. He's guided it. And here's what he says, I'm writing to you so that you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. Why don't you circle that? I put it in bold letters, but why don't you circle that? Of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. See, we're formed for this family. And I'm going to dwell on this morning. I'm going to kind of I want you to really get into this morning, because I'm going to kind of paint a picture of what does it mean to be part of that family. And so what I want to challenge you to is I want to challenge you to belong to the family. And we get a lot of people who come to church and a lot of people who attend various churches. There's a lot of good churches. I'm not saying this is the only church and this is the best church. Well, I think it is. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. And there's a lot of good churches out there. I fellowship with Paul over here in town and Kevin over here in town, and we get together at least once a month and we fellowship together. There's a lot of good churches, but you need to belong to one of them, because you need a family. You need a local family. You need people that are that that can be your family. Look again at what it says here. You are among those who have been called to belong to the church, to Jesus Christ. He wants you to belong to it. And it's hard because a lot of us, well, some people aren't joiners. You know, they're not one who just want to jump in and join everything and be a part of everything. But I'm going to challenge you that the church is something you belong to. Now, we say church, and most of you would think of, we were waiting for many, many years to get a church. I mean, we were saying we're waiting for a church. What were we waiting for? Anybody? We were waiting for this thing we're sitting in. Yeah. Yeah. Or we talk about church, we talk about the Sunday morning worship experience. And what I want to challenge you with, that's technically not the church. The church are the people. The church are you and I and those who belong to it. That's what the church is. You know, and too often maybe you got up this morning and say, I'm going to church. Well, you really weren't going to church. You were going to go gather with people and become the church. I remember a story one time I heard. Some guy came to town and was visiting with a pastor friend of his. And he says, you know, let's go see your church. So they get in the car, and the guy starts driving around. He goes to the gas station, and he goes to the grocery store. And he goes, and he's just driving around and visiting around. And the guy goes, well, when are we going to go see your church? He goes, what do you mean? You've been seeing my church. You know, the teller at the bank, the attendant at the gas station. You know, that's my church. And that's what I want us to see. And so I kind of give you the definition of church. You have it here on your outline. Church is made up of two words. Give you a Greek lesson. Anybody want to learn Greek? Here's a Greek lesson. That Greek word is called ekklesia. All right, that's how you say it. It's made up of two words. Ek means out. Kaleo means called. Church literally means called out. You have been called out to assemble, together as a group. That's the general meaning of it. But it's put up of these two words that God has called us out. And he wants you to belong to it. You ever been in a family? Maybe some of you were raised in a family that you really didn't feel you belong. I've had some people tell me they were raised in a family, and it's just like, I just don't feel like I fit in this family. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. You might not want to. But I've heard people tell me those stories that, you know, I grew up and I just didn't seem to fit. I just didn't seem to belong. And I want to challenge you as a church that you need a place to belong, a place that you can call home, a place where you're comfortable and you can enjoy. And what the scripture does, and it's real fun, the scripture kind of takes, I'm going to call them metaphors. And it kind of paints a picture of the church with these metaphors. And so I'm going to look at five pictures that the scripture paints of the church and kind of give us an idea of who the church is. Because the church has a benefit. Why should I belong to a church? You know, I've been asked to join, and they've asked me to join the Rotary here in Salida. And I just don't have time to join that. And there's a lot of good people down there, and they do a lot of good things in Salida. But I don't have time to belong to the Rotary. I've been asked to join some other things. And I just don't have time to belong. But I want to challenge you, when you look at the church, there's some benefits when you belong to the church, when you're part of the church. And I want to challenge you to think about that. So if you look at your outline, I'm going to say it this way. The first metaphor we're going to look at is the church is a family. We've kind of laid the foundation for that. But the church is truly a family. It's a healthy family, or I desire to be a healthy family. And it's a challenge to be a family. You know, because see, when you get a family, there's some deep needs that are being met. There's some things going on in your life, and it's hard to be a family. So, but when you do connect to family, you kind of get an identity. And so I put it this way. In God's family, I learn my true identity. We all want to fit in. Anybody remember high school? Anybody remember high school? Anybody? Man. Didn't you always want to fit in high school? You know, you had to wear the right pants and the right shirt, you know, and I've always had those, you know, it's like I don't really fit in. You know, I've always been a little weird. You know, I just always have been, you know. It's like I like wearing cowboy boots. Yesterday it was really fun because I did the wedding for Andy. He used to sing on our worship team. And so she made me, she says, listen, Gary, wear your Mickey Mouse tie. You know, because she knows, and that's what she always see me growing up. She'd come to church, and I always had a Mickey Mouse tie. And so here I'm doing her wedding, and I would never wear a Mickey Mouse tie to a wedding. But she asked me to. You know, I have this identity. You know, we all have these identities. But the problem is we get tied up with these identities. You know, you got to have the right clothes. You know, you got to drive the right car. You know, you got to have the right haircut. You know, I think the haircut today is all this short hair. You know, people shave. I mean, when I was growing up, everybody shaved their head. You know, I mean, everybody does all sorts of stuff today because we all, you know, we identify with these things. But here's what I want to say this morning. Too many of us identify with things that don't last. You know, they're fads. I was trying and helping them pin some of the boutonnieres on their lapels. And they had these new tuxes, and I guess this is the new design. And as I was trying to pin it, the lapel on these new tuxes were maybe an inch and a half wide. Yeah. Now, I remember the 70s. Anybody remember the 70s? How wide were the lapels in the 70s? Come on now, you know? You know, the lapels were like 6 inches wide, you know, and now they're here. I remember when ties were a mile wide. Anybody? You know, we go through fads, and we get identified with these fads, and they just don't last. Fads fade. Maybe that's why they're called fads. Yeah. But what I want to challenge us, I want us to think about is that, you know, we get an identity from the family of God. That my identity comes from being associated with the people of God. That's who my identity comes. Look at what it says here in God's word. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You're members of that family. You belong to that family. You get an identity with that family. Our identity doesn't come, it doesn't come from the schools you attend. I hear people talk about Ivy League schools and all this. I was giving a guy a bad time. I went to Golden Gate. You need to know, as ministers, there's some big seminaries. Golden Gate Seminary out here on the West Coast, and Southwestern's back in Texas. And we give each other a bad time about what seminary you went to. And people get their identities by the schools they attend. You know? And those things don't last. You know? And so where's your identity? What ties up your identity? And I'm going to tell you, isn't it great to have an identity tied to a man? Well, wait. To a God man named Jesus? I mean, doesn't that give a great identity? Hey, I'm part of God's family. That I'm part of who God is. And I've joined his family. Look at what it says here in God's word again. Jesus and the people make holy all belong to the same family. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Do you know God's not ashamed to call you brother and sister? That when you belong to God, he's not ashamed to call you brother and sister. We're part of it. And here's something that maybe you've experienced this. This is my experience. You know, there are people in this church that are closer to me than my own family blood relatives. Yeah. There are people in this church that are brothers to me and family to me than my own family. And then my grandparents have passed away. And my kids, and I got my kids and all that. You know, Martha sits over here, and Martha's like a grandma for me. Even though, you know, she could almost be my mother, but she's like my grandma to me. You know, it's family. My kids, you know, our grandparents live in Sacramento. And my kids, who was their grandmother while we were here? See, we're family. And see, that's what God wants us to be, and that's a challenge. And so when you're family, you stick together, you hang together, you're with one another, and that's part of who you are. And, And that's how we identify with one another. And I want to tell you, there is a brand for the Christian. Did you know that? There's a logo. There's a stamp for the Christian. I'm going to give you a word here that says, I'm part of the family of God. And that word is baptism. Did you know that? Baptism is that stamp. Baptism is that approval. Baptism is says, I am part of this family. And that's what the early church is. You know, people get tattoos. Laura, she's here, so I got to watch it. I messed up last week. Those who were here last week know what happened to me last week. So I got to watch it. Laura likes dressing us all alike and getting a picture taken. So when you got three kids and grandkids and everybody and they all have the same shirt on, and I'm going to tell you, it looks weird, but you know, you ever go to Disneyland and see everybody wearing the same shirt? Now, some of the women are going, it's cool, it's cool. I'm a guy. It's weird. Yeah. But that's an identity. You know, you want to, you know, it's my family. And Laura, you know, we've got a couple of pictures. I think we got two different pictures, but we're all dressed the same. I'm getting that look. Pray for me. Yeah. Some of the guys all wore black shirts. I didn't even know it, and I put mine on this morning, and it's like, oh, okay. You know, Laura's had my shirt hanging up, and I picked a different one. You know, because we want to be identified. And God's baptism, look at those who believed that what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000. See, when you want to be part of the family of God, you follow that. Jesus was baptized. Remember, John the Baptist didn't want to do it. You know, I need to get baptized by you. And so I want to challenge you. You know, maybe you haven't been baptized yet, and you know, that's something we need to talk about at some point. But I just want to challenge you. Are you part of a family? Do you belong? This next picture that I can add to this, this next metaphor that God used as he talked about the church, is the word temple. All right. The temple was where the Jewish people would go and worship. It was called a temple. We would call it a church today. And it was called the temple. And he paints this picture that the church is a temple. Look what the scripture says. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you? He's saying we're a temple. He's saying, what he's saying is, we're a building and it's all connected. It's all put together. We're all pieces of this building. Anybody here watch this building go up? You know, the pieces started going in and it's all connected. You know, I look up here and I remember watching them put it up, and you know, I see these cables going across, and you know, I didn't know what those cables were for until I watched them do it. And what it does, it straightens the building up. You know, and so those cables are tightened, so it kind of pulls the building around. And, you know, I watched them build them. And what was fun, and connections are really important, as I watched them build it when they first brought the building out. Just so you know, they've got these pillars over here on the side. And on the plans, they give you, here's how you, when you pour your concrete, here's where the bolts are going to go. And so we lay out the bolts on these corners over here. And just like they said, the certain sizes they said, lay it all out. The building comes, and guess what? The holes weren't right. We got 4 feet of concrete going down, got these bolts sticking up, and they're not right. And so they had to get out and fix it. You know, if they didn't make those connections right, we'd be in trouble in here. You know, all this stuff is connected just right. And I see God painting a picture. He says we're a temple. He's saying, wait, listen, you're all connected. You're all part of this body. You're all intertwined into this family, and you're connected, and you need to be connected to one another. Because see, when you're connected to one another, you have support. And so I wrote it this way: God's temple, in God's temple, I'm supported by others. In God's temple, I'm supported by others. See, there's no lone rangers in the Christian faith. When somebody comes up to me, and I've had people tell me this, I don't need anybody but God, they're lying. And if you say that, I'm going to call you a liar. All right? We need one another. Matter of fact, if you go back to the very beginning when God created, we always make fun of men. Remember when God created, he made man, and in his image he made man, and then it's not good for man to be alone. Most of us go, yeah. Most of you wives go, yeah, I know that. Yeah. But it's not good for anybody to be alone. We need one another. We're connected to one another. There's support with one another. There's love. There's sharing. There's journeying together with one another. You know, there's just something about that aspect in our lives that we need to see and experience. Look what the scripture says. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, he's saying we're all connected and we're all here. A few weeks ago, or just the other day, the week before last, I babysat. My daughter had a dental appointment, so I had my grandson. And my grandson runs into the playroom, and he comes out with a little red box. And then that little red box, he opens up, and he pours it out into the floor. And it's a bunch of Legos. And so I get down on the floor and he, make a plane, you know, and we make a plane, you know, and make a boat, you know, and we make a boat. Because Legos are made to what? To connect, to put together. They're no good just lying there in a pile. You got to do something with them and you put them together and you create these things. And that's what God does with us. We're his temple and he's kind of putting us together, fitting us together. If you were like me walking around this building, when they were building it, we had piles of scraps over here, you know, of some of the metal studs that are here and piles of sheetrock laying over here. And it was scrap. It didn't mean anything until you take that scrap. Because, you know, I didn't throw that metal away. We waited because we needed it. Oh, we need a small piece here. We need a piece here. And we need a piece there. See, that's how God, you know, none of us are just kind of pieces laying around. We all fit somewhere. We're all part of God and what he's doing and how God has put us together. And he's done that in our lives. Look at what it says here in God's word. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. See, we need one another. I never forgot when I was in college down at, here I'm going to California Baptist College. It's a university now. And my professor in this class, she goes like this. I only go to church when I need to go. And a red flag comes up in my mind because you know what? If you feel you don't need to be there, it might be the day you need to be there the most, first off. And second off, maybe you don't need to be there, but maybe somebody needs you there. Because we need one another. See, I look at our world, and what's so amazing to me in our world today, we are so technically advanced. You know, we got Facebook and text messaging and Google Plus and what is it? Twitter? Is that what it? Twitter? Thank you. I never can get it. I got to watch what I say. I get myself in trouble. You know, whatever that thing is, all right? Hashtag whatever, all right? I'll go that way. You know, we got all these ways to connect with people. We got all these ways to connect, and yet we're in a lonely world. People are lonely. It's just amazing that people are so lonely today. You know, we have all these Facebook and FaceTime, and we have all this, and people are lonely today. People, they connect and they try to, you know, I got 500 friends on my Facebook, and I've got 500 friends on, you know, what these others. And yet you're so disconnected. And see, God says, listen, you're part of my family. You're part of the body. You're part of the temple. You want support. You want encouragement. You want strength. You want somebody to walk with you. You want somebody to stick up for you. You want somebody to be there with you. It's found in the temple of God. I look at our world and I watch people pull into their driveways, push the button, drive into the garage, push the button and close the garage door. Anybody see that besides me? I see people out there hurting. And see, that's why God says, listen, I got a family for you. Come to my family. Belong to the family. Be part of the family. You know, I'm going to have a class. We have a class in our church. It's called Class 101, Discovering Church Membership. I think it's next, November the 3rd is next Sunday, isn't it? I think if I got my days right. I'm going to do a new membership class next Sunday at 2:30. We're going to meet down here. We'll meet over here in the room. And just kind of, well, who is this church? And what does it mean to belong? And why should I belong? And we're just going to kind of look at, maybe you just want to know what this church is all about. You can just come and see what the church is all about. You don't even have to join. You just watch it. But I want to have that opportunity. Why should you belong? Because there's some support, and it's about being a family. And God's called us to that, and it's for our benefit. See, I really see the church is not something I go to for God. It's something I go to for Gary because I enjoy it. I need it. And it's an opportunity for me to give back to God. And so I just want to challenge you to be part of God's family, to belong, be part of the temple, connect. Don't just be a piece laying around here. We had prayer this morning, and in our prayer time, one of the individuals was talking, and it's like, I want to get involved. You know, I want to do something. I'll even scrub the refrigerator if I can do that, because they just want to belong, and we need that, and that's what the temple is. How about the third metaphor? The church is a body, and the scripture goes like this. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is probably the most familiar picture of the church that people read. It's in Corinthians, and we see this picture here. And it talks about the body, and that everybody's part of the body, and how you need every part of your body, and everybody's significant. And so I put it this way. In Christ's body, I discover my unique value. That every one of us is important. That every one of us has a value to this. And we need each other for that value. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it would really be a different church if Linda and the worship team wasn't here and you guys were listening to me sing. And you guys are all laughing because you know how I sing. That's why I hide around the corner until the singing's done. Yeah. That's just, I can't carry a tune in the bucket and I don't even know what a tune is. Yeah. Because everybody's different. And what's amazing is every part matters. You know, how many... don't really think much about your toes until you stub them. Anybody? Yeah. It's like they're just there. You don't worry about them. They're there. You know. But I'll tell you something else. You don't have any toes. You try to stand on one foot without your toes. That's what balances you. But you really know it when you stub them. We need every part of our body, and we need to be a part of that body. Look what the scripture says. Just as there are many parts of our body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all part of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. For each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. A lot of good teaching in there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in here, because this is a whole sermon here. As you look at that, there's many parts. They're all different. They all have a work to do. You know, it takes everybody to make it happen, and everybody to be a part, and you know, there's introverts and extroverts, and there's, you know, just all sorts. You know, I visited with somebody the other day, and I was talking with them. And they enjoy working on cars. I don't even want to get my hands greasy, okay? I don't even change my own oil anymore, all right? I mean, I used to change my own. I'm just going to pull in, let them change. I don't want to touch it anymore. You know, I like keyboards. The biggest piece of wood I want to pick up is called a pencil. Yeah, we all have different likes and different wants. We all have different skills, and it takes all of those. I'm glad. You need to know one of my passions. You know, I'm on the school board here in Salida, and one of the tragedies I see And you need to know, I believe in college. I believe in college. But you know, some people don't need to go to college. Their skills are different. Their abilities are different. And so it's hard. You know, I want to equip everybody to be successful in life, but use your skills. Use your gifts. What are you called to? And then here's my challenge for you. You can use them for God. Whatever those gifts are, you can use for God. I've never forgot. I heard the story of this man who was a bank president. And he joined the church, and he's trying to figure out what role he could play in the church. You know what role he ended up playing in the church? He was a financial advisor and did money management classes for the church. Who better to do that job? See, we all have different roles. We all have different skills, and we all have value. We're all valuable. You know? And each one of us has that role. We need people who are going to pull weeds out in the flower beds. Hint, hint. Brenda's out there spraying them. Yeah, she sprays them. Yeah. But we need people who, you know, I walk around Sunday morning. I walk around this building 7 times. Nothing biblical about that other than they walked around the walls of Jericho. I don't want this one to fall down, though, but I do walk around it. Yeah. But after I get done walking around, I go around and pick all the garbage up in the parking lot and around the building. And you know, there's all sorts of stuff to be a part of the church. You know, we always think, you know, we got a great worship team. And, yeah, we can always use more people up there. And Linda would like to have more people join them. If you got skills, feel free to talk to Linda and back in the audio-visual booth back there. And we got Bible study groups, and we got kids programs and youth ministries, and we got all sorts of stuff going on and plugging in and being a part. Everybody has a role, and we all have different values, and we all have something to contribute to it, and we need to belong to that. Look again at God's word. It goes like this. If your foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it less a part of the body. If your ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an ear and not an eye, would that make it less part of the body? I don't know about you, but I want all my parts, all right? You know, I really appreciate having all my parts. And I want to challenge as a church, we need all the parts. So when you belong, you're just not setting aside, you're part of it. Look again, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. We're attached. We're hooked in. We're all doing a work. We're all participating, different roles participating. We are a body of Christ. So you get a picture here what God is saying? You're part of my family. Be part of my family. I'm going to support you. I'm here with you. I'm going to give you an identity in my family. We are children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be part of the temple. I'm going to be your support. We're going to get connected, and we're going to stay together. I'll walk with you, and I'll be with you. And we're going to get connected, and you'll find support. And he goes, listen, you be part of my body, and everybody has a value. People don't want to pass through this world. They want to have meaning in their lives. And part of that value. And that's exciting to me. How about the fourth metaphor? The church is a flock. You guys are a flock. All right? Now, I'm going to say, you're not a flock of birds. You're a flock of sheep. Look at what it says. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We're the sheep of God. Now, I don't know if you like being called a sheep. You know, sometimes that might sound, you know, I don't know about you, but you go to the farm, I always go to the fair, and you go by the animals. Doesn't it smell so good to go by all the animals at the fair? Isn't it nice? You walk down, you're looking at the sheep and the cows, and he's calling us a sheep. But I think a sheep is a good name. You know, with a cow, all you got to do with a cow is throw a little food out, and you got a cow. Chickens, all you got to do is throw some food out, and you got chickens. But with sheep, it's a little bit different. Sheep take a little work. Sheep take a little care. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalms in the Living Bible. You like my Living Bible? Kind of a retro day. I did a Beatles song, you know, kind of. This is a Bible. This was Laura's Bible. It says, to Laura, sweet 16. Looks like my writing. Did I give this to you? Oh. So that was a few years ago. I'll make up for last week. That was a few years ago. Listen how it writes the 23rd Psalms here. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside quiet streams. He restores my failing health. He helps me to do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of mine enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. Now, doesn't that make it nice? I'd like to be a sheep now. It makes it kind of nice, you know, to think that God's my shepherd. Here's what Jesus had to say over in John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. A hired man will run when he sees a wolf coming and will leave the sheep, for they aren't his and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf leaps on them and scatters the flock. The hired man runs because he is hired and has no real concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. I think it's a joy to be a sheep, to be a sheep, to be part of God's shepherd, to be part of God's flock, to be part of what God is doing. I think it's awesome to be a part of that. And so as you look at your outline, I put it this way. In God's flock, I'm protected and I'm cared for. I think this is a wonderful picture that when I'm in God's flock, when I'm part of the church, when I'm part of his family, when I'm part of that temple, when I'm part of that body, I'm part of that flock, he cares for me. He's protecting me. He's going to be there for me. Look at what it says in 1 Peter. Take care of God's flock, his people that are responsible, that you are responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced to do it. Whoa. Now, just to give you a little hint, that's not about you. That's about me. See, as a pastor of this church, my job is to watch over you. That's what I do. That's what I'm called to do. I'm to shepherd the flock. My job is to help you grow. Why do you think we do a 40-day, 42-day study? Because I want you to grow spiritually. I'm going to have to stand before God someday and answer for my leadership in this church and in your lives. Did I help you grow? Did I help you fit into God's family? Did I help you fit into God's temple? Did I help you become a part of God's body? How did I do as your pastor? I'm going to have to stand before God. I'm going to tell you, that's scary. That someday I will stand before God and God's going to go, okay, Gary, you were at First Baptist Church, Center Point, Salida for 30 years. How'd you do? I'm going to have to answer. I'm going to have to answer for everyone that's come through this door. You imagine how many people have come through this door? Martha and I talk about all the people that are on the rolls that's passed through this church. I've got to explain. You know, I'm going to tell you something. That's scary. I pray a lot about that. I pray for wisdom, and I pray for strength, and I pray for understanding. Because I've got to answer. I got the greatest privilege to be pastor. I love this church. I love you guys. I cannot ask for a better church. You guys have put up with some crazy things, and we're not done. I want to do whatever it takes to get those out there in here to get them into the kingdom of God. Because that's my heart. That's what I want. But that's my job. That's my responsibility. And it's not, well, that's my job. I get to do it. It's a privilege and it's an honor. So I thank you for letting me be your pastor. I love it. I love you guys and it's fun. Look at what it says. Oh, this is for you guys. Oh, okay. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. I like that part. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. We're there for one another. You know that? You know, and this is what I want you to know. There's two groups of people in a church. There's your pastors, and there's the flock. There's the people. But pastors lead. The people follow. The leaders better watch where they're going. The leaders better make sure they're leading in the right direction. I'm going to stand before God. And I'm willing to do that because God called me to be a pastor, and I love it, and I love the church, and I love being a part of what God is doing. That we're all in this together. And then some of you, as sheep, watch over one another. Look at what it says here. Share each other's troubles and problems. And in the same way, obey the law of Christ. Be with one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another, love one another, greet one another. You know, there's 58 times God says one another in the scriptures. and we're there for one another. See, that's part of the flock. We watch over one another. Again, encourage each other and give each other strength. See, I want to challenge you. Are you there for one another? You know, we have struggles in our life. You know, marriages sometimes struggle. You know, families sometimes have family squabbles. Anybody been in those family squabbles? Anybody have trouble at work? Anybody got work? I'm sure nobody's here ever stabbed you in the back, right? Anybody got a friend that stabbed you in the back? Yeah. Life is tough. And you come to church. And here's my deepest belief. And I had a leadership meeting later on today. And my deepest heart belief is, you know, if we really love people and we love people, people will want to come because they want to be loved. Because they're not going to find it in the world. The world is not a very loving place. I don't think anybody would agree with that. We need to be a loving church and where people want to come and experience God's love. So I got two questions for you. Who is looking out for you? And who are you looking out for? You're part of God's flock. Who's looking out for you? And who are you looking out for? And I want to tell you something. You know, a lot of us feel like, well, I got some garbage in my life and I got some past history. I've shared this in the past, and I really believe this because, you know, sometimes we have some things, and earlier we looked at the word that says God's not ashamed of us. You know, God forgives us of our sins, and people have some experiences in their life that are really tragic and hard. Divorce is one of those situations. There's no winners in divorce. I think anybody that's been divorced would tell me, even if it had to happen, you'd say it's not a winner, and it hurts. It hurts. But you know what? Sometimes that wisdom that comes from that can share with somebody to help somebody. Somebody's been molested. Raped. You know, and those are embarrassing situations, and those are very hurtful. And yet there's wisdom in that, that somebody can come that's going through it and find somebody to share with. See, we need to see that in one another, that maybe those embarrassing points, and maybe that sin in your life that's in the past, that God can use that in the flock to help somebody, to support somebody, to be there for somebody. Those struggles, those financial burdens, those financial mistakes, that God can use those things in our lives. See, we're part of God's flock for one another, and we're there with one another, and we're sticking together with one another. Crisis will come, and things will happen, but we're there for one another. Now, the last metaphor is this. This one's really quick. The church is called a garden. The church is called a garden. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Sure, go ahead. You're welcome. All right. God, we're the gardener. God's the gardener, and we're the garden. When you think about a garden, anybody plant a garden, what do you expect when you plant a garden? Anybody got an idea? When you plant a garden, what do you want? You want growth. You want it to produce something. You want something to come out of that garden. And what it's saying here is, we're God's garden, and he wants us to grow. He wants us to be productive. You know, if you got a plant that's not growing, you know, if you got an apple tree that's not producing apples, what are you going to do? Get me a different apple tree. Yeah. And so God wants us to be productive. And so a garden, in God's garden, my life becomes productive. It makes the difference. A branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So you want to have a productive life, you need to connect to God. See, I think God paints this great picture here of the church. He's saying, listen, I love you. That's my first thing. I just want you to know I love you. That's my first purpose. I was created to be loved by God, that God loves me for his pleasure. I'm created for God. And then God comes around and he goes, now listen, I want you to belong to me. I want you to belong to me. Now you need a local church. You need a local body of believers. You need a family. You need a temple. You need to be part of the body. You're one of my sheep. You need to be part of the flock. You're in that garden and you're going to be productive. See, and he's painting this picture of the church. See, I don't think the church is something, well, I've got to go to church. You know, I'd never have to go to church. I always give the worship team a bad time. We used to practice on Saturday nights that, well, if nothing better comes up, I'll see you in the morning. And I used to always harass the worship team on Saturday night. Because for me, there ain't nothing better on a Sunday morning than church. I'm serious, you know. I got a DVR. If there's something on TV, I got what's called a DVR. All right? You know, the Cowboys would be on. Yeah, I watch the Cowboys. Yesterday was a lot of fun. I was giving all these college kids a bad time because they're all college football. But church, there's just something. I love being here. I love the church. I love being here. I love getting around the people. I love you guys being here and seeing some of you guys I don't get to see but once a week. You know, it's just something about the church. And so I want to challenge you. Do you belong? Do you belong? Or are you just here? See, I think there's a difference of just coming, sitting, listening to some, maybe hopefully some good words, and leaving. And coming and being a part. Have you ever been to a family reunion, maybe for your spouse, and you just felt like a third wheel? Anybody? You know, you've been there with your spouse, and you're kind of, you know, not putting your spouses down, and you're at these family reunions or at these family gatherings, and it's kind of like, I just don't fit in. You know? I want to tell you, you'll always fit in God's family. And I want to challenge you. I'm going to do class 101. Discovering church membership. We have a class called 301 about finding your ministry in the church. Yeah. And we have different opportunities for you. And I just want to challenge you, do you feel like you belong? Because it's all for God's glory. Look at the scripture. Glory belongs to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time and eternity. It's all about glory. This is going to last forever. You know, this world will disappear. My family will disappear. But God's family is always there. Do you belong? Are you a part? Are you just a piece of scrap that was sitting here as we built the building? Are you connected somewhere in the family of God? I challenge you to be part, to belong. But you know what? We're memorizing some scripture. How you doing? Two down. Anybody? Somebody got to rattle them off to me this morning. Stephen banged them right out this morning. He better. He's one of the group. He's head chairman of our groups. Pressure on you, Stephen. Yeah. So we got another memory verse. Let's go over our memory verse. I'm not going to ask you to do the past ones because I don't want to put that on you, nor me. But I do know them. All right. Isaiah 44:2 and Romans 6:13. See, I know them. All right, let's do this one. How about you guys working with me on this? We're going to grow together in Christ, and I want you guys to be spiritual. I'm going to stand before God. I can tell God, I made him memorize a verse, God. Maybe they're getting me some brownie points. I don't know. Let's look at this. Now, remember what we do. We say the reference, and then we say the verse, and we say the reference. All right, so are you guys ready? Everybody ready? I see some heads nodding. All right, let's go. Ephesians 2:19. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Ephesians 2:19. Now, my point today was you need to belong, not just be here, not just attend, but belong. You're part of the family. You know, we get a lot of people, you come every Sunday, and you're still just not part. I want to encourage you to belong. Make this your family. You know, wrap your arms around one another and belong and find that love and that care and that support. Be part of that temple. Be part of that family. Be part of that body. Be part of that flock. Be part of that garden that's producing things. So let's do our verse one more time. Are you ready? Ephesians 2:19. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You need a new identity? It's in Jesus. Ephesians 2:19. Thank you, guys. You need to be part of God's family. You want an identity? You want strength? You want to be protected? You want to be cared for? You want to be productive? You want to have that identity? It's found in the church and the family of God. I pray you have that. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and how that you work in our midst. I just ask you to speak to hearts this morning. Lord, let them know that each and everyone here has a value, that their identity is found in you and not the clothes they're wearing or the cars they're driving, but in you, that you love them and you're not ashamed of them and that you want them to be a part of your family, Lord. And Lord, that they've connected and that they're protected and that they're cared for. And Lord, that they have value and support. Lord, I ask you to touch each heart and not let one go out here in loneliness, Lord, because it can be a lonely world, but we have one another. Lord, we want to be part of your family, the family of God, through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.